Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the conference call on the results for the third quarter of 2020 at CIE Automotive. After a second quarter which was the worst in the history of the automotive sector, during this third quarter, there has clearly been a recovery in volume. And although without a doubt that is very positive, the fact is that except for the case of China, the activity levels are not yet at pre-COVID levels. In general, we can say that there has been a different recovery profile in the developed and the emerging markets, the latter showing a somewhat slower recovery. We will now review the specific developed market where CIE is present, starting with Brazil. After reopening the OEMs at the beginning of June, a month during which we must remember that they produced around 35-40% of the pre-COVID levels, this third quarter there has been a sequential improvement in vehicle production, with a July at minus 36, at minus 21, and September at minus 11, which has made up for a third quarter of minus 23%. In the accumulated figures for the nine productions in Brazil have shrunk by 41%. There are several elements that we believe help explain the slower rate of recovery in this country, such as the fact that the Brazilian authorities are finding it difficult to control the expansion of their overexposure to exports to a single market, Argentina, or the major increase in the unemployment rate, which in a country with a consumer-oriented economy weighs very heavily. Moving on to India, in some cases, India is following the path of Brazil, although in this case, COVID has been an initial element in the perfect storm that was already taking place in the country and in the sector. We might remember that vehicle sales were affected by factors such as the market slowdown, the increase in property costs, the delicate situation of several financial institutions, the deterioration in business confidence, or a fear of buying automobiles with an internal combustion engine. On the other hand, the commercial vehicle segment was also strongly affected due to the economic uncertainty and the review of the goods transport regulations in the country. After a month of June, when activity levels were around 35-40% versus pre-COVID levels, production in July, minus 28, August, minus 7, and September, plus 10, have shown a positive sequential improvement with a positive month of September. In the third quarter, production dropped by 9%, and the cumulative shrinkage has been 38%. Some elements that contributed to this satisfactory evolution was the demand on hold, growing interest in a private vehicle versus public transport to avoid contagion, but above all, the replacement of inventories before the holiday season at the end of the year, and a better evolution in the rural demand versus the urban demand. This rural demand represents around 40% of the total vehicle demands and is the expectation of a positive monsoon this year, and by the fact that the economic incentives implemented by the Indian government have been specifically segments, as well as the strong effect of the additional incentives offered by the OEMs and the low interest rates applicable to the retail segment. Moving on to Europe and the passenger vehicle, the relaxing of restrictions together with the stimuli implemented on the main European markets without a doubt have a relevant impact on demand, and the inventory levels in Europe have gone back to healthy levels, which in turn means that vehicle production has been reactivated during this third quarter. I would also like to qualify that during the month of August, the OEM maintenance outages have been quite similar to those of previous years. Therefore, there hasn't been a distortion factor in this sense. In spite of this, production evolution has been minus 10 in July, minus 20% in August, plus 1% in September, for a total of minus 8% in the quarter and an aggregate figure of minus 30. Talking about trucks, the European truck segment in general and the German sector in particular were already slowing down significantly before COVID, although during the third quarter they also showed a sequential improvement. It is estimated that the European truck market has shrunk by 23% in the third quarter and 19% in the case of Germany. Talking about North America, the recovery of United States and Mexico in the third quarter has been more favorable than in Europe, which has taken stocks to very low levels, in fact to record levels compared to recent years, while the direct OEM incentives have gone down and stabilized. Production in North America was plus 6% in July, minus 6% in August, and plus 2% in September, for a third quarter of plus 1% and an aggregate figure of minus 26. Finally, China. The case of China continues to beat all expectations, with the month of September having the fifth consecutive month with growing production. We saw plus 18% in July, plus 5% in August, and plus 9% in September, for a third quarter of plus 11% and an aggregate of minus 9%. Although initially the recovery of the economy was being driven by the production side, with investments in construction projects and measures by the government, in the specific case of the Chinese automotive sector, the consumer side is catching up in recent months. As a consequence of this, vehicle inventories are already at high levels, with an inventory figure at the closing of September that is very similar to August and, above all, very similar to the figure for September 2019. Another indicator of the solid demand is the fact that the incentive levels are offered by OEMs are going down even more strongly than in North America. It seems that manufacturers have decided that with inventories at normal levels, it is not necessary to put so much incentive on demand. Referring to the global market and CIE, the sequential improvement trend continues that we saw in previous months, and September has been the first month where both light vehicle sales and productions have increased worldwide. The markets where CIE is present overall in this quarter suffered a contraction of minus 5% and minus 29% in the aggregate figure up to September. Our activity levels during the third quarter were 85% compared to the normal activity levels, and in September we reached a figure of 90%. For the accumulated figure for the 9 months, bearing in mind CIE's complete perimeter at a constant exchange rate, a drop of sales of minus 21% has represented a significant outperformance over 8 points, which can also be extended all geographic areas. And we move on to margins. Without a doubt, the most important headline this quarter has to do with profitability. During these past months, we talked to you about how we saw two phases in the recovery of our margins. A first phase where we would go back to pre-COVID profitability levels, and a second phase where we would work to expand those margins. Well, here we are. We're already in phase one. During this third quarter, we have achieved the ambitious challenge of returning to the pre-crisis operating margins, even though the volumes haven't come back. That was the big challenge. On the other hand, the plan of action deployed, labor flexibility, war economy, etc., is proving fruitful. And finally, we can confirm a certain improvement in the margins of the companies that have been recently integrated. We also have to highlight that this margin recovery has taken place not only on a global level, but also in each one of the geographic areas where CIE is present. With all this, EBITDA exceeded 130 million euros in the quarter, which represents a margin over sales of 16.5%, in line with the EBITDA margin post-acquisition for the group. On the other hand, the quarterly EBIT has been 89 million euros, an EBIT margin over sales of 11.2%, also in line with the EBIT margin after the integrations. Now we have to continue working on this phase one, and our commitment is to consolidate these profitability levels in the coming fourth quarter, although we are very much aware that these last months in the year could bring activity levels somewhat lower than in the third quarter. If we move on to the balance sheet and cash flow, in fact, the other big headline this quarter is cash flow generation. We have generated €86 million in operating cash flow in the third quarter and €150 million accumulated up to September end, with an accumulated EBITDA conversion ratio of 57%, in line with COVID conversion levels. And as we said earlier, in an environment where we have not yet reached normal activity levels, which means that these figures are especially praiseworthy. The result is that the adjusted net financial debt has decreased compared to June, closing September at €1.76 billion. We would like to remind you that this net financial debt contains almost €300 million associated to corporate operations. On the M&A front, we have the purchasing of Somashini and the payment of the earnout for Intel of almost €90 million. We have the purchase of 4% of our listed Indian subsidiary MCIE for more than €20 million, which has provided a stake of over 60%. We also have our own share buyback program, where at September 30th, we have acquired 4.7% and have invested almost €90 million. Finally, we have paid both interim and final dividends for the year 2019, dividends that we decided not to cancel and which amounted to almost €100 million. Without these almost €300 million in non-operating payouts, the net financial debt at an absolute value would be at a similar level or slightly lower than those for the closing of 2019. Of these €300 million, almost €100 million were for the third quarter. Payouts that will not happen again in the fourth quarter, since the buyback program is practically complete and there will be no dividend. Therefore, we can undertake to maintain the focus on maximizing cash flow generation and continue reducing our net financial debt the coming quarter. And now I'd like to say something about the future. For and long term, we believe that the key drivers for the different markets are still present, although, of course, COVID implies that foreseeably we will not recover the volume seen in 2019 until 2023. And the peak volumes in 2017 with 95 million vehicles won't be recovered until 2025 or 26. With this volume recovery process, it is anticipated that the markets that are doing worse in the recovery on the short term, like India or Brazil, could grow more quickly than the average, meaning that mature markets like Euro and NAFTA will carry less specific weight over the total world market. And moving on to specific geographies, although Brazil is the most delayed country with regard to the return to normal activity levels, we believe that there are favorable elements that are going to have an impact on the evolution of the Brazilian market, such as low interest rates or the improvement in the loan approval ratios or new models that are now going into production. The forecast for Q4 is plus 6%, which will imply for 2020 minus 6%. And the rebound in 2021 is expected to be plus 28%, practically offsetting the losses in 2020. In India, although there are still important uncertainties about the country, especially regarding the management of the health crisis, for the fourth quarter, we believe that the trend we've seen in the third quarter will continue in the context of a greater consumption during the festivities and a strong rural demand. The current forecast for the fourth quarter is plus 4%, which would imply a full year of minus 28%. And a strong rebound of plus 27 is expected for 2021, which would also make up for what has been lost in 2020 in one single year. China in order to understand the evolution anticipated in production in China, it is important to remember that the fourth quarter in 2019 was a very strong quarter, the strongest in 2019. And although during the fourth quarter it is expected for several OEMs to launch several models, it seems that nothing will be enough to offset that high comparison base. Therefore, the fourth quarter would shrink by 4% and would mean closing the year at minus 7%. In the medium term, including 2021, the estimate is that China will go back to a middle of the range digit level with plus 6% in 2021 and 4 or 5% thereafter. Europe and the passenger vehicle. The key to be monitored here is how the incentive impact continues to evolve and the uncertainties related to Brexit and the compliance with new CO2 emission regulations. Currently, the forecast is that production in Europe will shrink by 1% during the fourth quarter, therefore continuing with the positive sequential trend, which would imply a year 2020 at minus 23%. And the forecast for 2021 is a rebound of plus 16%. Regarding trucks, the latest estimates point as a contraction of minus 30% for 2020. In the European market, Germany, which is the benchmark market for CIE, is expected to shrink by 33%. Both in Europe in general, as in Germany in particular, it seems that the second half of 2020 will be better than the first half, not just because of the greater impact of COVID during the first half of the year, but also because of the slack comparison base of 2019. For 2021, it is expected that Europe will grow at around 18%, while Germany is expected to grow at around 13%. Finally, North America, and talking about the prospects for the United States and Mexico, which in both the short and medium term seem to be favorable. A flat fourth quarter would mean a 2020 at minus 20%, and a strong rebound in 2021 to plus 22%. Although it's true that these estimates do not reflect the uncertainties that will have to be monitored, such as the result of the elections in the United States, the possible new economic incentive package, how the spreading of COVID is managed, or the final implementation of the new NAFTA treaty. Global market and CIE, in line with what have been happening in recent months, the IHS estimates for 2020 have significantly improved in the latest report published in mid-October. Improvements to a closing of the third quarter of the initial estimates, but basically because of a significant improvement in the fourth quarter. The current estimate for the global market is minus 3% for the fourth quarter, which would mean that the production fall for the whole year would be around 18%. For 2021, a major rebound of plus 14% is still expected. And we have a little more to add. I would just like to close by repeating what I already said earlier, and which is the summary of our work plan in the short term. To consolidate in the fourth quarter the pre-COVID profitability levels that we have already achieved in the third quarter, and to continue maintaining the focus on cash flow generation and deleveraging. Thank you very much for your time, and we will now move on to your questions. Juan, please. Good afternoon, everyone. The first question refers to the developments expected in CIE on the market in the mid and long term. Well, I think that we have to look at what history can tell us about the future. I think that in general, the 25 years of CIE's history, to go back a long time and then look at more recent periods, our history in general shows that during CIE tends to outperform the market, and during contraction periods, and we believe that the basic reason is our strict commercial policy, we tend to have a certain underperformance with respect to the market. In recent quarters, to look at more recent periods, in recent quarters, what we've seen is not the global market. Let me go to the CI market mix, because the evolution in different geographies this year has been so different that we have to refer to that CIE market mix. But this year, practically all quarters, what is that the CIE market mix is what is establishing the organic evolution of the group. And this is what this year is going to reflect. In the future, I think that we have levers that can make us believe again in that possibility of outperforming without making the commitment, because the lever is quite unpredictable. We're talking about the lever that is going to enable us to have those groups, those players in the sector that are currently in serious difficulties, that may not survive, and which represent a supply problem for our customers and for us an opportunity, since the customers could transfer current projects or future projects, those suppliers that may die, to us. So I think it's an important, predictable. Again, it's impossible to quantify and it's unpredictable. But we are a trusted supplier for our customers, not just from the operating point of view, from the point of view of supply quality, but also from the point of view of being financially solid. And this has to make a difference in the future. Continuing with the CIE expectations, regarding the expectations mentioned during the results presentation for sales, EBITDA and net income for the fourth quarter in 2020, does this refer reaching absolute figures as in the fourth quarter of 2019 for this magnitude, or does it refer to similar margins, in other words 16% and 11%? We're referring to margin levels, that's right. There's a before and after at CIE Automotive. The moment where we carried out the four integrations you know about during 19 and at the very beginning of 2020, and this meant a major change to CIE margins. Unfortunately, it meant a dilution, and I say unfortunately because that's the initial impact. It also means that the major opportunity we'll have in the future of generating value with the increase of that profitability. So when we refer to going back to the pre-COVID profitability, we are referring to going back to the pre-COVID profitability after integration, once those margins have already been diluted by the effect of the acquisitions. We're talking about that pro forma of approximately 16% EBITDA and approximately 11% EBIT, which is what you've seen in this third quarter. And the commitment is that during this phase one, not only do we have to reach those pre-COVID margins, we have to consolidate them. That's what we want to show in the fourth quarter with the additional challenge that the fourth quarters, as you know, you've heard this very often, have an additional uncertainty compared to any other quarter. It's when our customers adjust their stocks, and there could be unexpected news about lengthening the maintenance outages and therefore a drop in demand for us. We hope that that won't happen, but even so, our commitment is to consolidate those levels in a relative percentage terms with regard to the pre-COVID figures. Bear in mind that the OEMs adjust stocks and volumes in the fourth quarter of the year. What makes us so confident about our forecasts for this fourth quarter? Well, I just mentioned it. The fourth quarter has that instability inherent to it. But our portfolios with our customers, the sector analysts, all the information gives us the feeling that there is a slight margin in our estimates for the fourth quarter, but there won't be a dramatic variance. If what you're asking is what would have to happen and not to meet this consolidation commitment, this commitment in relation to operating margins, there would have to be a dramatic change compared to what's happening in the third quarter to not meet this commitment. But we don't have that in mind at all. We're talking about slight variations in the estimates. We don't believe that there would be a dramatic and significant variation with respect to our current estimates for the fourth quarter. And what would the expected CEI growth be for if there was no COVID? We're not going to go into a guidance we haven't given. We're talking about the future. We're talking about 2021. And you know that right now there is no published guidance on that. We've spoken about trends in the growth of CIE, additional levers apart from the return of volumes, which is an important lever and the first one we need to use as a reference to think about the growth of CIE, but we've mentioned additional levers such as the natural selection that COVID is going to bring about, and when the time comes, we'll give the guidance for 2021. Meanwhile, I would continue to look at the trends. What is the impact on cost of the aid measures provided by the governments? I don't quite understand the question. I assume we're talking about the labor flexibility measures, etc. Yes, okay. In our case, the margin improvement, I wouldn't assign it only to that. I wouldn't assign it only to the help we receive through labor flexibility. I think that our margins are very praiseworthy, and they're determined by several factors at the same time. We have, of course, you'll remember that I already explained this, and I don't want to go back into the details, but there are measures such as labor flexibility that have helped. But not just that, the war economy at CIE Automotive, the focus on liquidity and refinancing, the focus on production planning, all that has helped. But not only that, I mentioned it earlier, but I think it should be mentioned again, the improvement in margins is also brought about because the two perimeters, the 2018 perimeter and the new perimeter, the perimeter with the integrations, have evolved those margins. And with the 2018 perimeter, which is close to reaching its high margin level, its peak margin, and the new perimeter, the integration perimeter, which, as I said, it has to be recognized that it has improved somewhat. And then there's also the fact that in the margins for the third quarter, there is a slightly smaller effect, certain restructuring costs that were associated to the reduction in headcount at the end of the quarter. So all that helps, and I wouldn't just assign it to the help we received. I think that would be taking merit away from the plan that CIE is implementing. Could you give us some more information on financial expenses and taxes? Well, I don't think there's anything that specially stands out, but I'll make some comments on it. If from the financial expenses we extract, let's say, the less recurrent items that have to do with financial derivative equity swaps and that have to do with exchange rates and equivalents, in other words, if we leave purely financial as spended and make it net from financial spending, we're talking about a first quarter that was around 9 million euros. A second quarter that was similar, and a third quarter that obviously has been somewhat higher as a result of the higher debt we've seen in recent months. We've gone from approximately 9 million to slightly under 11 million, 10.5 million approximately. Apart from that, we have the company we have a stake in, Summit, that came from the integration of CIE Golde and started with a very small contribution because the effect of China and then has improved over the next two quarters. And then we have the derivatives and the exchange rate where I'm afraid that cannot be forecasted. And we have the exchange rate and the equity. I don't think there's anything special And in the case of the tax rate, it's exactly the same. I would say that there's nothing unusual. The most extraordinary thing, if you want to use the term, was the second quarter, where the base was negative. But from there on, I think that you've seen the usual levels in a recent quarter to CIE. There's nothing special, extraordinary, or anything that stands out. We saw it in the half-year statements we published in July. In September, now you've seen a very normal quarter with absolutely normal levels, and we expect the same for the fourth quarter. Nothing that stands out. A question about working capital. It hasn't improved compared to Q2. Neither have we seen a substantial change in factoring. What should we expect for Q4? Sorry, because the change in factoring is really substantial if we compare it with June, as the question stated. In June, we were talking about 120 million in factoring versus 200 million in factoring we've had now in September. And we've seen how the recovery in activity also leads to a recovery in factoring level. Although it's true, we're still not at pre-COVID levels. If we look at recent pre-COVID quarters, I would say that the average was around 240 million or thereabouts. And therefore, the 208 million in factory up to September means that we would be at approximately 85% of the factoring recovery. You haven't seen a major improvement in factoring. Well, it's true that it's been slightly positive for the quarter. And although it may seem low, it's important to remember that the third quarter is traditionally a quarter where there are investments in working capital. We can use as a reference the third quarter in 2019 or 2018, but you'll find that there is usually an investment in working capital, while this time there hasn't been. It's true that there has been an improvement in factoring. It's true there has been a consumption, which is the usual consumption in the third quarter. But it also has to be said that we've consumed slightly more than what could be considered usual. I think it's been the effect of a good quarter, but a somewhat unexpected quarter, where the production ramp-up has been significant, and the planning done both by customers and us, we have to recognize, haven't been the best. We are going to reinvest before the end of the year in working capital as the activity recovers, as factoring recovers and reach more optimized levels. But in any case, and to close the factoring issue, you know that our working capital philosophy is focused on trying to grow without a significant investment in working capital, and an investment of barely 80 million euros, part of which will be recovered in Q4, and in a dramatic year like this one, balance sheet with 5 billion in assets doesn't look like a big issue. The share buyback plan, is it up to 5% initially, or is there no limit in itself? And in relation to this, what would the future remuneration policy be for the shareholder? Buyback, dividend policy, if you can give us a little bit more clarity on that. The buyback plan, as shown in the relevant in February when we launched it, you know that by law three parameters have to be given. One is the destination of that buyback plan, and we made it very clear that it was to reduce capital. Secondly, the amount, the maximum amount to be used, and gave 160 million. And we also spoke about 5% maximum. Those 160 million, 5% maximum, represented a maximum price of slightly over 20 euros, and we've been buying at a lower price than that. So as I said, the accumulated investment is less than 90 million, and we've practically completed the buyback plan. What is the shareholders' remuneration going to be in the future? The dividend policy is still in place. The dividend policy, well, there's no intention or decision to change it. There's a payout of 30-some percent a third of the net income is used for dividends. It's true that through the buyback plan, the EPS, the profit per share, is going to go up, and therefore the dividend will increase with respect to the situation before the buyback plan. And that's why it was done, because the market was appreciating the CIE Automotive share, and the buyback plan tries to provide an additional remuneration to the shareholder. Regarding CapEx, could you give us some visibility on what we can expect for this year and on the medium term? Well, I think that this is a recurrent question, and I'm going to stick to what we've said in the past. I think that what we've seen in these three quarters was a first quarter that was relatively normal, a second quarter of austerity, I would say, and a third quarter where, even though things have improved, we maintain that investment policy. To give you a reference, in the accumulated figure up to September, we are approximately 30% below the budget and close to 35% with compared to levels at the same time of last year. What can we expect? I think that we can expect a continuation in the austerity spirit for a few more quarters. If we look at the midterm, I think that we can expect what has always been normal for CIE, the maintenance capex, which is close to 4%, and part of the expansion capex that will be related to our commitment to provide organic growth. During times of very strong organic growth, like in 2016 or 2017, you've seen a growth that has been very high related to expansion capex, up to over 3% versus sales. And in times of low or dropping organic growth, that ratio is much more moderate, 1-2%. There's always a bit of expansion capex because of our industrialization projects, etc. So I think that we can expect. And regarding acquisition, do you estimate you would have for acquisitions next year? I think that if we talk about a year from now, I very much doubt that we'll see any major M&As. I say major M&As to give a title to the Intevas of this world. I don't think we'll see many of those transformation operations in the short term. Before, when talking about growth, we were talking about one lever for growth, which is other players dying and having those projects transferred to us. That's going to be our M&A formula for the near future. I don't know whether to call it M&A. I mean a growth formula that is really much more organic than inorganic. I think it's going to be our growth formula. That transfer of projects from companies that are a supply problem for one reason or another for our customers, and they decide to transfer them to a supplier that is more reliable and that is a supplier for the future for them. Have you hired people this quarter? As of June 30th, 4,000 and some employees left, and it's true that the figure at September's end is somewhat better. There has been a say of some 650 people, and basically they've rejoined in India, some in Mexico too, and yes, there's been a new growth in employment, yes. Is CIE still interested in increasing its stake without going over 75% in Mahindra CIE? We have an interest in having the smallest number of minority shareholders as possible, especially in a company like Mahindra CE, for whom we see a magnificent future. And that makes us very selfish and makes us want to have the smallest number of minority shareholders. Are we interested in continuing to buy at ridiculous prices and at such low prices and such opportunistic prices as have been offered to us? I have no doubt that we could be interested in buying. We have no specific goal. We don't need to use 60 or 62%. We've found a number of opportunities that provided 4% for an amount of slightly over 20 million euros, and you can't give up an opportunity like that. And we become selfish and don't want to share with minority shareholders. Could you give us an update on the consolidation plans for China, Brazil, and India? It's a bit of a generic question, and I understand that it means what do we think is going to happen in the midterm strategically and what our presence is in those countries. Starting with Brazil, I think that we've already shown our absolute support for Brazil in the crisis in 2014-2015 with many players, especially in the automotive sector, decided to shut down the facilities in Brazil and leave the market. We not only stayed, we invested, and we're delighted we did it. And we put our backing on the recovery of the Brazilian market and its future. In the case of India, what can I say? In 2013, we were determined in taking a step. I think it's working out well. I think that we have to recognize that the arrival of the golden decade in India has been slower in coming than we expected, but I think it will come, and it's important to be in the right place at the right time. And in Deva, with practically half of its activity in China, means that at Tier 2, we didn't feel particularly comfortable. But in Tier 1, in the roof systems within Deva, we do feel comfortable. And in fact, it's one of the major sources for the generation of value, and we're delighted. And are you feeling a significant speeding up in electric vehicle projects? Well, the same things you read in the newspapers. As the electric vehicle market grows, the demand for parts for electric vehicles grows for us. I think that's already been showed. When 5 years ago you asked us this question, and why didn't we have much exposure to the electric vehicle? It was because there were very few electric vehicles on the market. Last year we were talking about electric vehicle percentages in the CAE sales price pie. It was very similar to the market, and I think that's going to continue to happen. The demand will come to when the demand reaches our customers. So keeping up with the pace. By when do you expect to have the new strategic plan? We don't have a date yet. We're starting to look at the consolidation. The stabilization is the word. The stabilization of the data. And I say stabilization in quotation marks because if there is major confinement, if COVID spreads, it means that this could shake all our forecasts. So I think thinking about a strategic plan would have so many hypotheses, so many ifs, that it wouldn't make too much sense. As soon as we see some stability, we'll be the first to launch it. But I don't think it's the time to discuss that yet. What's the risk or the opportunities in the American market as a result of the elections? Well, our friend Trump and the impact this is having in commercial policies, trade policies, especially with countries. During this time, we've gone through the NAFTA treaty with him, the negotiation of the NAFTA treaty with all the threats, and then when the new NAFTA treaty was born, we saw that it wasn't really super disruptive. There were certain changes, but it was a bit of a continuation. Now we're seeing his negotiations with China and with the way Mr. Trump has of doing things. And I think that we could see a relaxation or a different trade form. And this could help to lower tension in general, which is putting pressure on our sector too. Could you repeat the inventory levels for the geographies? Well, about the geographies, we said that in general, in the third quarter, in some markets more than others, but in general, we've found that it's going back to normal. And I think we should highlight two markets. In Europe, where we're talking about the normalization of the inventories at historic figure averages, and the average over the last 50 years is 60-odd days of inventory, and we're back there again, so this is a very important normalization. And the other geography to be highlighted is NAFTA, and the fact that not only have they normalized the inventory, they are below the historical inventory levels, 60-odd days, well, they're below that. They've had a low inventory record, let's say, due to the strong demand that has occurred in recent months. Another question on the market. About the activity level, the fourth quarter this year, why could they be somewhat lower than in the third quarter if things point at a quarter with smaller drops than in the third quarter, and a higher volume than in the third quarter in absolute values? I think I mentioned it, but I'll say it again. I said could, because it's not something we're certain about. You know that we're cautious, we're conservative, and we like to be prudent. It's true that the estimates are positive. I said it during the presentation. But it's also true, we shouldn't forget, could adjust their own inventory at any point. Say that instead of having a two-week outage in December, they'll be down for 4 weeks. This is a situation we always have in the fourth quarter, even in a stable market situation. So in a market situation such as the present situation, we have to put that risk on the table. We're not saying it's going to happen. We're saying that it's a risk that has to be taken into account. And if it happens, it's going to affect us all. Well, it seems that there are no more questions. So thank you all very much for your time. And you know where you can, if you have any further questions.